And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Nerdy Notions as we continue through the journey of WandaVision, and hopefully we don't slip through the cracks. Ain't that right, Sasha?
Yeah, the cracks are coming. They are ever growing and things are getting more and more complicated. And as each question is answered, more and more questions come up and my brain is overloaded on like comic fodder and like everything else. So I have so many theories swirling around in my brain that I cannot even make complete sentences anymore. But let us welcome to a very special episode.
Dot dot dot,
which is a family ties themed episode. But what's actually interesting is I saw this on Tumblr and it's actually really cool. I'm gonna pull it up and explain what I mean. So this was posted by user Live Love California Dreams, and gotta give credit where credit is due. And it's doing the WandaVision opening credits of versus old TV shows. So while primarily this episode is an homage to Family Ties, there are also moments of other shows.
Well, the opening part was Different Strokes.
Hold on. The opening part was actually Family Ties. Yeah. Then the photos was Growing Pains. And then the part about the picnic was Full House, according to this person's like compilation, which was very nicely done. And they get kudos for that.
But Full House is going to be touched heavily on the 90s episode.
Yes. Well, it's still mostly a Family Ties episode, but we'll get there. So the decor of the house is like, if you compare it to Family Ties, is very, very Family Ties-esque. The house does look bigger now.
Well, they got kids. They got to have a bigger house.
Right. But the house doesn't really, it looks bigger, which is kind of cool. So we open on Wanda carrying a crying Tommy, and she's very frustrated by the fact that this beautiful baby won't go to sleep. And I'm like, yeah, girl, he's going to be a speedster. Like there's no coming back. He's not sleeping. And she's like, if you fall asleep, you'll be the favorite twin. And Vision's coming down with Billy saying, oh, we love our children equally. And Wanda's like, don't tell him that. And Billy apparently also won't sleep and cried harder when Vision decided to read him Charles Darwin, which like, really, Vision, you should have known.
Yeah, but that's a joke though, because Paul Bettany actually played Darwin in the movie Creation in 2009.
That is a funny little meta note. Thank you. So the babies won't go to sleep, and so they put them down, and that only makes them cry harder. And Wanda tries to, let's be real here, if we were parents and we had babies that wouldn't fall asleep, we also wish we could wave a magic wand or use our powers to make them go to sleep. Except it doesn't work. Because the babies are weirdly magically resistant. I get this is what happens when a magic user and a synthesoid android reproduce. You get a magically resistant baby, which bodes well for future shenanigans. So Vision brings the babies their binkies, and these babies remind me very much of me when I was a baby, where I literally did the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 countdown. And as soon as I got to one, the baby spit out the binkies violently, which I thought was hilarious. So then Agnes arrives and is like not weirded out by anything and is like, oh, I heard the baby's crying. And Vision's like, how'd you do that? And she's like, with my ears. And so she's there to sort of like be Auntie Agnes now and babysit. But then like I guess Vision has the wrong reaction to what she says. And she's like, should we take it from the top? And looks at Wanda. And Wanda for her actually looks really confused. Like, why is Agnes saying this? So Wanda and Vision are confused. There's this kind of awkward moment and then it sort of dissipates. And then Vision becomes suspicious as Agnes goes to get liquor. And that the kids can't be controlled and things like that. And there's this moment where Wanda is, they're talking and she's like, oh, nothing is wrong. And then they hear that everything's gone quiet and they look at the cribs and the cribs are empty. And my heart just went, because in the comics, the babies disappear when Agnes shows up. Like there's a point in the Vision and Scarlet, I think it's the Vision and Scarlet Witch comic or West Coast Avengers, one of those, where basically Agnes arrives to Vision and Wanda's home and reveals that the babies aren't real. and they disappear when Wanda is like not thinking about them. And so the babies disappear momentarily and my heart just went, but then we see a slightly older Billy and Tommy at the stairs.
Exactly.
And they're five years old.
5 years.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. They keep going, growing by fives. But anyway. Oh God, can we not? I'm not ready for 15-year-old Billy and Tommy in the next episode. I hope that doesn't, I don't think that happens. But anyway. So then we go into our opening themed montage, which is actually kind of cool, except for two things. So we see like the twins celebrate, so they're celebrating the twins' birthday. You have the paint style family ties intro, hanging out with the kids in the park. And then there's these random pictures of the babies where they're like, Vision is holding them. And then Vision is holding them dressed as the Easter Bunny, which is ridiculous. And then dressed as Santa Claus, which is even worse. Billy is going to be Jewish at some point, somehow, fight me. And this is just wrong. But anyway.
Well, what's even awkwarder is the baby photos of Vision.
Yeah, those are really weird. Obviously, we know that Vision doesn't have baby photos because he kind of came out fully formed in Age of Ultron. So this is kind of terrifying. I liked the young Vision in front of the black, white, the chalkboard, though. That was a nice, that was slightly less creepy, but still weird. But what's really cool is they did actually use pictures of young Lizzie when they did this. So that was very, very cute. I like the fact that they have that photo of Lizzie where she's like standing in front of like some weird wall where like you could say that's Sokovia. And I don't know if that was Photoshopped or not or what, but it was really well done.
Most likely was.
Most likely, but it was really well done either way. So Billy and Tommy are 5 years old now. But meanwhile, we check in with Monica. And basically she's being checked out as Tyler's asking her questions about what happened and how she's feeling. And then after the examination, Darcy and Wu arrive. And the tests are inconclusive. Like they don't really find anything on the weird machine she's on and they want to draw more blood. And Monica's
the reason for it is that for the CAT scan that she took, it showed up as like a big bright light.
Yeah.
On the thing. So like the CAT scans that they're trying to take on her were just, they could, for whatever happened in that reality of Wanda's, it affected the body to the point where even the technology, because they couldn't even get anything out of blood work.
Yeah.
So.
So anyway, they go to a briefing and Darcy's introduced to Monica and she's a big fan and like they bring her clothes. And there's a briefing and Hayward calls Wanda the principal victimizer, which I'm gonna get to this. So basically we learned that Wanda was born in 1989, which is when Lizzie was actually born, which only makes her like five years younger than Natasha Romanoff. So interesting. So Wanda and Pietro were like 26 years old during the events of Age of Ultron. I mean, so weird. Anyway, so they say that their parents are Irina and Oleg Maximoff. Can I just ask, did they pull these names out of their asses? Where did these names come from? Those are not the names of their parents. Like, even if we go with the 5,000 bajillion parents that they have had in canon at this point, at any given time, from Magneto to the Wizard, there was never a character named Irina or Oleg in the thing. And, like, I get that Sokovia is, like, between Ukraine and Moldova, basically, but why? This seems weirdly unnecessary, but I guess maybe, hopefully we will find out what's up with Wanda's origins. So then they talk about then Hayward sort of takes over and says that they were radicalized by Hydra. And Wu's like, that's kind of an oversimplification, which it is, because we know that StarTech killed their parents and they thought they were joining S.H.I.E.L.D. And there was like this big communication of what is S.H.I.E.L.D. and what is Hydra. And you and I talked about this when we did our Age of Ultron review. Yep. So I'm not going to rehash that because otherwise this will be really long, but check out our Age of Ultron review for context.
And it's in the archive.
There you go. So they gained powers after experimentation. And then Hayward is like, so what's Wanda's name? Like, does she have a code name, like a cool name? And Jimmy's like, nope, no, she doesn't. And then he's basically called
Which is weird when you think about it, because it's like Tony Stark, Iron Man, Steve Rogers,
Captain America, Clint Barton, Hawkeye, Natasha Romanoff, Black Widow. Yeah, no, yeah, she doesn't have a code name.
Yeah, she's the only one who doesn't have, well, technically speaking, Vision doesn't have a code name.
Right, but Vision also doesn't, Vision is Vision. It's like Cher, you know, or Madonna, like. So anyway, Jimmy's actually like, the way he's conducting this briefing is like, he's giving you just the facts so you can sort of formulate your own opinions. It's Hayward who is telling you exactly what he thinks it is. And he ends up calling Wanda a terrorist. And then basically Wu talks to Darcy and he's like, I don't really like to be negative in my briefings or like speak ill. And I don't want to speak ill. And Darcy's like, oh, I will. Hayward is a dick. He doesn't actually say it because it cuts back to Hayward calling Wanda a terrorist. And Monica actually argues against this to say that Monica isn't terrorizing people for political gain. She's just trying to kind of like live a life. And they're like, well, she's holding a bunch of people hostage. And Monica, she sort of put up her own quarantine. At the same time, Hayward is like, well, you're the one who said this was like an invasion and it was scary and all that jazz. So then Hayward reveals some interesting intel. He says that Wanda, and they have the footage of Wanda breaking into a S.W.O.R.D. facility nine days ago, and that she stole a Vision. So first of all, he makes it sound like she broke in and killed everybody. If you look at the footage, one second, she doesn't actually hurt anybody. Yes, Michael.
So interesting fact about this. Now, we don't know if it's confirmed or not, but Paul Bettany in interviews leading up to this interview or leading up to this episode was actually saying that originally in Endgame, there was supposed to be an end credit scene to set up WandaVision. This footage right here is theoretically the footage that was shot for Endgame that ended up not getting used.
I thought he also said in that same interview that the scene was scrapped before it was filmed.
So no, he filmed a couple of it. He filmed some of it. So yeah, he filmed some of it. And then
hopefully when we get to the point in the story where they reveal how everything got set up, we will see that. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
An interesting fact, though, that Paul Bettany has been openly talking about the fact that this was actually supposed to be done at the end of Endgame.
He didn't speak about this scene specifically. He spoke about a scene that could have set it up. There's a couple of other options of what it could be later on.
But he kind of described it a little bit, and this is the scene that probably is what it is.
Anyway, so here's the thing. Hayward then says something that's kind of funny. He says, first of all, that Vision had a living will and that he wanted to sort of be left alone and like just kind of let my body go situation.
Which, how would he know? Because he wasn't there.
Hold on. I'm getting to that. And then Wu says that this was a violation of, so Wanda breaking in and stealing Vision was like a violation of the Sokovia Accord. So first of all, the fact that the Sokovia Accords are still a thing is the dumbest thing in the world. Because the Sokovia Accords and their implementation led to civil war and then led to the Avengers being disbanded essentially and not working together to see this threat coming and properly prepare, first of all. Second of all, as you said, how the hell does Hayward know that Vision had a living will? Where did he find it? He probably found it inside of Vision, which makes me wonder if this is actually setting up somehow the Avengers failsafe program, but we'll get to that. Problem number two, if Vision asks to sort of be left to die, why do you have him in pieces in a laboratory with lots and lots of scientists? Because when Vision died in Infinity War, his body was intact. He just had a giant hole where his head used to be.
Well, where the Mind Stone used to be.
His head was still attached, right? So Hayward is full of shit.
He is full of it.
I do not trust him. Also, follow-up question. When did Vision have time to write a will? Was it like on the way to the compound after he and Wanda were rescued by the Avengers? Or was it on the way to Wakanda right before shit hit the fan in Infinity War?
I'd have to say in between both.
Somewhere in there was
because
a will.
Because I totally see Vision writing a will. Like, I, robotic self, write this will.
Right, but I think it was like, I wonder, though, if Hayward is making this up, at least in part, Because it's very clear that Wanda's not the one that's violating Vision's last wishes. It's Sword, who literally had him in pieces and arguably mutilating his body.
But we'll come back to this point, because as we go further, there's more that you can go back to this point and then discuss it as we talk about the other stuff.
So, let's see. Yeah, so Wu says that Vision didn't want to be anybody's weapon. So what happens when Vision learns, the truth? We won't know. So we then see the boys have found a dog and they really want to keep it. And it's really, really cute. And then Agnes shows up conveniently with a doghouse. And that's not even a Wanda at that point. Like, you can't argue that Wanda made Agnes get a doghouse and just appear with it. Anyway, so Agnes names the dog Sparky, which was the actual name of the dog in the Vision comic by what's-his-face. Anyway, Wanda makes a collar, but Agnes doesn't notice. A Vision is a little bit miffed, like, Wanda, why aren't you hiding your powers? And she's like, I'm kind of sick of hiding. And he's like, I can't believe we're not on the same page about this for the first time, like, ever. And then Wanda and Vision make a very big mistake. They tell the boys they cannot have a dog until they are 10. So what do the boys do? They age themselves up to 10 because twin. I really hope they explain how that happened, because the only explanation is Billy's powers, because Tommy's powers don't work that way. But the fact that they have this weird twin bonding thing as they do it is kind of interesting. So we'll find out. So back with our Sword agents and other people, Monica wants to go back into the town, and she notices something. She says she needs an aerospace engineer, which is interesting. And she has this like elaborate plan of basically building some kind of steel, like concrete tank to roll into Westview. But she wants an aerospace engineer. And I can't think of any aerospace engineers off the top of my head that would fit the bill, because Reed Richards is not an engineer. He's like a particle astrophysicist, 50,000 PhDs, whatever the plot wants him to be, kind of a scientist. It's not Bruce Banner, because he's an expert in gamma radiation and doesn't really do space stuff. So who does space stuff in the comics? This is not my wheelhouse, people. But Monica figures something interesting, because first of all, they question about the twins being real. And she's like, oh no, they're real. Everything in the TV show, when you watch it, seems fake. But when you're on the inside, everything is real. And the twins are genuinely Wanda. So then Monica gets an idea. And she goes back to the lab to her costume that she was wearing. And she realizes that it's made of the same material she was wearing when she entered Westview. Meaning that anything from the present gets transformed to match the time that it's in. So Monica gets the idea. What if you send in something that is of that time period? But anyway, there's also a crack about how they talk about whether or not Wanda is actually powerful enough to compel and control everybody in town. And they talk about how she almost took out Thanos if he didn't send the Blitz. And then was like, well, Captain Marvel did something. And Monica's like, can we not talk about Captain Marvel? Good, we're going to move on now. And I'm like, yes, we need to move on, because you should be Captain Marvel. You were the first female Captain Marvel, and you deserve better, Monica. So anyway, she saw the helicopter. That's what it was. She saw the helicopter from the 60s episode, and that gives her the idea. So they end up sending in, wait a minute. So Wanda's rewriting reality. They're sending something that requires no change. Vision is at work and intercepts an email from Darcy in a late 80s computer. And this is where things get a little bit Borg-like. And everybody who's watching the computer except Vision and the other woman in the back who hadn't like turned to see the computer all repeat the mantra of the email. Which is an email from Darcy about the perimeter and the Maximoff anomaly. And they think it's a joke and start laughing. And Norm is like, haha, what should we write back? And Norm's like, hey, Vision, you're the funny guy. And then Vision somehow gets the idea, and he sort of wakes up Norm. And Norm is like freaking out. Oh my God, I need to call my sister. You have to stop her. She's in everyone's heads. But he never specifically says that it's Wanda. Ain't that funny? Meanwhile, the twins are trained. Billy had taught the dog some tricks, and Tommy asks, she talks, they're like, they seem to be aware of the changes and how they're like, it's Saturday. And Wanda's like, no, it's Monday. And they're like, no, it's Saturday. So the boys are, I think because they're actually natural parts of this world and not like from the outside coming in, they are more aware of what's going on somehow. I don't know. It's magic. Don't question it. Or reality warping. So they end up, she ends up talking, they're like, oh, like kind of like the old like 80s PSA of like mommy and daddy had a fight, but that doesn't mean mommy and daddy don't love each other and love you equally. And in that moment, she talks about the importance of siblings and how your brother will always be there for you, which like, I really hope that happens with Billy and Tommy because their relationship in the comics is non-existent, which is really frustrating. Point being that Tommy asks Wanda if she has a brother. And this mirrors the conversation she had with Monica. The difference is though, she doesn't say he's died. She says he's far away and she can't see him. Okay.
Well, I think in that regards to her saying that is because you're trying to say it in a nicer way to a kid.
Yeah, but you're also saying it within confines of a TV show. So I think it's supposed to be different on purpose, not just because she's telling kids. Anyway, so Sparky hears a funny noise and they go outside and Wanda's like, stay here. And of course, two 10-year-olds are totally going to listen to their mom when there's a cool sound outside. Uh-huh. So they all run out of the house and they see this 1980s drone. And Hayward's like, I know this drone is old technology, but can we do something about the picture? And the way Wanda looks at it, I mean, you're dealing with like, you know, 35, 40 year old technology, take what you can get. So the drone notices Wanda and she kind of gets this look on her face. That's a really, this is not a woman you want to cross kind of look. And her eyes start glowing red. So Hayward orders the drone to fire after Monica fails to communicate with Wanda. And it's actually not really clear if the drone actually broadcast what Monica was saying to Wanda. So I don't think she heard what Monica was trying to say.
It comes off that way because...
I mean, she could have heard it. We don't really know for sure.
Oh, yeah. But the way it looked like, because you're only looking at it from the droid perspective. It'll be interesting to see if we ever get to see it from the Wanda perspective in that regards.
We might. Anyway, so we find Wanda. Hayward orders the drone to fire and Wanda doesn't take that very well. And then they get news of a breach.
Well, would you take it well if somebody shot a missile at you?
Me is not the problem. It's the fact that they're also shooting a missile at two little kids and a dog. Anyway, so Wanda comes out of the barrier in a really cool way and confronts Sword. And she's just like dragging this broken drone and just like dumps it at their feet in front of Monica and Hayward. Monica tries to sort of talk to Wanda. And Wanda says she has what she wants and no one will take it from her again. She then redirects the guns and the soldiers, not onto Monica, but specifically onto Hayward. So clearly she doesn't see Monica as a threat, but she sees Hayward as a threat, which is interesting because as far as we know in canon, she has never met him.
But he openly admitted that the missile was used as a precaution.
Right, that's true. But again, the look she has on him is like she doesn't, like it's very specific. So I think they do know each other. So then Wanda goes back through the barrier and then it starts turning red. So she sort of, I think, re-strengthened it. Then we have a commercial, a paper towel commercial. Called Lagos, the fancy schmancy bounty super absorbent paper for when you make a mess you didn't mean to. And I'm like, oh God, because that's what happened in Lagos. very nicely done on the commercial front. So we get the impression that Wanda saved Vision from S.W.O.R.D. and then kind of formulated this life. So meanwhile, the kids and Wanda go looking for Sparky. And we find Sparky in Agnes's rose bush or whatever it was, and he's Azalea. Dead.
It's an Azalea.
Whatever. Azalea. I don't do flowers. They're all Greek to me. So the question is, did the drone... Because the drone did fire, seemingly. So did the drone kill the dog, or did Agnes kill the dog? Because there's no reason for Wanda to kill the dog.
So the story that Agnes gave was that...
That he was like...
He was eating the azalea bush leaves, and that I believe that actually really is toxic to a dog.
Probably.
So one would assume that the dog ate the bushes.
But we never see it.
Exactly. I think it was Agnes, not...
I agree. But the question is what was the purpose of killing the dog? So... We'll get to this. We'll get to the speculation after we finish the summary. So the kids and Wanda find Sparky. So Billy and Tommy tell her to fix the dead. Tell Wanda to fix the dead. And Wanda basically admits that she can't do that. And like this world has rules that like you can't age yourself up and you can't fix the dead basically. And you can't reverse death. And Agnes gets kind of this funny look on her face that is like half relieved, half like something else that I can't explain. And then Vision gets home, and as she talks to the kids about grief and loss. So Vision ends up burying the dog in the backyard, and they start to talk. Also, it should be pointed out that there's a little rainbow artwork on the counter. That's a nice nod. Hopefully that'll come into play later, because for those that don't know and haven't been listening, Billy in the comics is gay, and in the comics, he recently just had a gay Jewish space wedding. He is now Space Merlin. Anyway, so Vision... Oh, there's also, like, she's picking up toys, and we see a little orange and green, two cars that are orange and green, could be a reference to Billy's future husband, Hulkling, aka Teddy Altman, and there's also, like, a green dragon, which is also a reference to Hulkling, I think, but at this point, I could be overthinking. Anyway, back to the good stuff. Vision is really... We find out that Vision thinks he's kind of put the pieces together and realizes that Wanda is the one that's doing this, because things don't add up. Like they'll go to sleep and we'll wake up in a different decade kind of a thing. And he says that he talked to Norm and that he's really scared and that she shouldn't be doing this to people. But we also learned something very interesting. Vision doesn't remember life outside of Westview. Now, that could be an issue with how Wanda brought him back. It could be any number of things that maybe Wanda put in place so that he doesn't remember certain parts of the past and life outside of Westview, because he'll remember that he's dead. And he also doesn't know what's outside of Westview. Wanda says she doesn't know how it started. And he sort of talks about like people arriving conveniently and things like that. It's sort of implied. And then the doorbell rings and Wanda's like, that wasn't me, but it doesn't really look like Vision believes her. So she opens the door and we see a man with white hair and a leather jacket, and it's Uncle Jesse. No, I'm just kidding. It's Uncle Pietro. Pietro arrives, played by Evan Peters, which was long rumored and long speculated about. And I gotta give Evan Peters major acting chops, because he sounded like Uncle Jesse.
Well, and it's the thing that you and I were talking about when we were texting each other after I watched the episode. You know, nothing against Aaron Taylor Johnson, who I think is a great actor. But Evan Peters, as we've seen with the way he portrays his Pietro in the Fox X-Men.
Peter,
yeah. Well, there's a reason for it. I actually have that note up to talk about in a bit. But
is it because of the Fox and Marvel and rights and blah 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 blah?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, but I have the more detailed version. But but when he did Peter in the X-Men films, he actually was regarded better than the Aaron's version. But not only that, but the other thing is that Evans has more charisma. And you totally saw that in this one.
You know, I mean, it's only like a 30-second moment, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And the charisma alone just makes you go, I'd rather be with that Quicksilver than the other one.
He's going to be significantly more dickish, and that'll be great, because that's on par with Pietro, especially where Vision is concerned. But what's funny is as soon as we see this moment, and he's like, what do I got to do to hug my sis? And we see Darcy on the other, and she's like, she recast Pietro. And it's just such a funny moment, because that's the reaction we're all having.
Well, not only that, but the thing is, one thing that people forget about 80s sitcoms is that recasting was a very regular thing.
Not 80s sitcoms either. Like the new Darren, like it's a thing that's been happening in television over the decades.
Well, I mean, let's take away the soap operas, because they have to recast like every freaking 5 years. But like one of the biggest examples is Roseanne. You know,
or Bewitched.
Yeah, like the one character, Roseanne, I think was recasted like 3 times. So it's...
Anyway.
But it's a common thing.
Yeah, so afterwards and that's pretty much where the episode ends. He sort of comes in and he's like, who's this popsicle? And that's it. That's the end. And I'm just like, oh boy, next episode is just pretty much going to be the entire time is Pietro making cracks about Vision, and he's probably going to call him a toaster at some point. It's going to happen. My brother actually, so funny story. My brother made this joke as we were watching the opening montage of Wanda and Vision as babies and everything. My brother just shoots up and he's like, no, this is wrong. And I'm like, what? What's so offensive? He's like, this would be really funny if like Vision was like an old 60s computer first, and then like a Walkman or something later, and then he becomes Vision. And I'm like, no, but they have to keep the theme. He says, okay, in that case, have him as like a disembodied voice on a screen, as like Karen from like SpongeBob or something, and then it would have been funny, but obviously not fit the theme.
Or you could have done the AI feature inside the Iron Man helmet, because that was Jarvis.
Yeah, but again, because it's like 80s and we're doing a thing and sticking to the sitcom formula very, very strictly, that like you can't do that, but it'd be really, really funny actually. There's something interesting here is that, so Agnes is clearly, something's funky going on with her, and I do not trust this woman. She's way too invested and involved in the shenanigans of Wanda's life.
Well, first you had the beginning with the babies crying.
And even before that, but yes.
Well, no, I'm talking about this episode specific. Like this episode specific, this is the most we've really seen Agnes stick her nose into almost everything. You know, from the babies crying
to the doghouse.
To the doghouse, to the dog dying. And the thing is, especially when it comes with the kids crying and the dog dying, those two specific things, when you had those interactions, Agnes is kind of the one that's having them redo the bit.
Yeah, that was her. She's the one like, oh, let's take it from the, should I do it again, and let's take it from the top. And Wanda actually, like, she looks confused when that happens, and she's like, what? Here's the thing, I fully believe that Wanda set up this reality. What I don't think Wanda realizes is that people are actually watching it like a sitcom, and all of the skip scenes that Darcy was talking about, right? Because there's stuff that we saw that like Darcy and the others didn't.
Yeah, like the glass breaking in Dottie's hand.
Right. Or Monica's character being like literally ripped out from that universe and things like that. So, but the other thing is Wanda also looked really hurt when Vision said she was controlling everyone's minds. Because she sits down on the couch and she's like, yes, I'm walking their dogs and taking them to their dentist appointments. And I think this proves that Wanda is controlling the reality, but not people's minds. Because when we saw her outside of Westview, when she took control of the guns and the guys, which actually was such a funny nod to the original X-Men. If you think about it, like that scene in X-1 when Magneto is controlling all of the guns. But the point being is that we see their eyes turn red, and like they're like along the eyes, there's like this redness. And then we see Wanda propelling their hands towards the Hayward. And then when she leaves, she lets go and they go back to normal. So either the reality that is set up in Westview doesn't allow us to see that, or it's not Wanda's doing. Yeah. Because think about it, she would have to be controlling them literally 24/7.
And not only that, but the other thing is that, you know, there's a whole bunch of theories running on Agnes alone, because there's talk, like apparently there was some leaked set photos of her and a witch's outfit for the Salem witch trials.
Yeah, I remember that.
So like, could she be this actual witch character for real? And so there's a lot of...
It would be a little bit too coincidental if she does not turn out to be... if she turns out to not be Agatha Harkness, and like Dottie ends up being Agatha Harkness because her name is Agnes. Yeah. So I don't know. Here's the thing. One of the other theories that was going around was that Wanda was sort of puppeteering Vision's dead body, which first of all is really, really creepy, but also proves to not be true, because if that were true, Wanda easily could have turned Vision off or in rewound everything so that he forgets the conversation, but she doesn't. So either she's losing control of the reality completely, which I don't think she is, because it seems to be growing. I think what happens is that she is not controlling Vision. And he even says, you can't control me like you control them. Now, maybe that's because he's a techno-organic machine as opposed to everybody else who's human, but still.
And it should be noted too that this fight in specific happens during the credits.
And then the credits kind of stop.
And then Pietro comes after the credits, which is also a nod to the Marvel films where they always do an end credit scene.
This is true. The other thing is Vision points out that there are no children in Westview. What we know from the various trailers of the Halloween episode, which is the 90s episode, which is coming next week, is that we will see children in costumes. So that means there will be children appearing in this, and either we just didn't notice there were children or something else is happening. This is not cookie cutter of Wanda's responsible or Wanda's not responsible. I think there's multiple people, multiple things responsible for this. I also really love the fact that Darcy has started referring to the thing like that, everything that happens as the hex, which first because Wanda has hex powers in the comics, but also is because of the hexagonal like themes of the like the Brady Bunch episode. And like the hexagonal shapes that we've seen literally everywhere, including Hayward's office, by the way. So that guy cannot be trusted. Hayward just is way, he was just like way too hard on the whole, oh, Wanda's behind all of this. She's a terrorist. Look, she broke into my facility. Like he's either in on this or he's definitely knows more than he's saying. He was just trying way too hard to paint her as the sole responsibility. Billy and Tommy being magically resistant, I think, means they will become more aware. But it also begs the question of what will happen when this reality stops existing. Because the twins are real. They're real. They're tangible. They're not going to disappear. But are they going to revert back to babies when this is over? And will they have memories of Westview afterwards? That is the question. Let's see. So what was that thing you were going to write about the Peter versus Pietro shenanigans?
Oh, yeah. Give me a sec. Let me pull it up.
So
real quick, Evan Peters appearing as Pietro is a homage to him playing Quicksilver in the 20th Century Studios X-Men film series. Both Marvel Studios and 20th Century made an agreement to use both Peter and Wanda since both were X-Men and Avengers.
Technically, they were in X-Men comics. They were never X-Men. Anyways. Because they were mutants for a while, but they...
But condition that they could not make reference to the other studio's properties. The Fox films could not mention them as members of the Avengers, while Marvel films could not mention them as mutants or as children of Magneto.
So I guess that doesn't matter anymore.
Exactly. Since Disney acquired 20th Century in 2019, this agreement no longer stands.
Does this mean we're going to get Magneto and they're going to be mutants again and I can actually have Wanda be Jewish somehow? If they're not going to make her Romani, they can at least make her Jewish.
Well, see, here's the thing. And then also this notes, this is the first official crossover between the MCU and Fox-owned properties with the appearance.
It's really not a crossover. I'm sorry. I'm going to nitpick here. It's not a crossover unless you can tell me that's the same character. You're really, like, yes, you're reusing the same actor to play a similar character.
Well, but where the questions begin, because yes, they like, and you and I talked about this when we did, you know, our little text chat, and that was the fact that, you know, yeah, they did the Age of Ultron storytelling for Wanda and Pietro, but the thing is, though, is that in a way they're also kind of rewriting a few things here or there with, you know, with this show, because now, you know, because this show is going to lead into Doctor Strange 2 and Spider-Man 3. They're all going to be connected with this whole multiverse stuff. So to say that this isn't a crossover, yeah, you may be right. They may take it the Age of Ultron story and just use a different person, or they can do a multiverse thing where they bring in the Pietro from the X-Men films, and it's now crossing over legitimately.
We will not know until
we have four more episodes left of this
series.
We have
five, because there's rumors of a 10th episode, but I don't know. I think it's just going to be 9, but
yeah. But the thing is, though, it's a very interesting concept. And like you and I were also talking about, this could be the way they introduce mutants into the MCU.
If there is a blending of, if that is true, I want it to be more multiverse shenanigans as opposed to Wanda doing it. I know people were like, oh, this will be like a reverse MJ, but like, can we not have Wanda become the mother of all mutants? Because that just seems like a bad idea.
The better option would be the multiverse option.
I think there's a couple of different ways you could do it. You could say that the universe kind of kicked into high gear, that there were like always people with abilities, we just didn't know about them. You can also then say that because of the significant lack of humans in 5 years, that evolution sort of kicked into high gear. So there's a lot of different ways. I think Marvel is likes to plan ahead. So I have faith in that they will think this through. I got to talk a little bit about, I was telling you before the show that the kid playing Billy apparently is a huge comic book fan. He is absolutely adorable. I think he's already been in a couple of things. He seemed to have a pretty bright career. His name is Julian Hilliard, and what's really cool is he has a cover photo on his Twitter, which, first of all, I don't know, I have issues with kids having Twitters. I think that's a really bad idea, but if it's more of like a professional Twitter that is managed by his parents, then I guess it kind of makes sense. But the point is, when they were finally allowed to talk about the fact that he's playing Billy, he tags it, it's tagged as Billy Kaplan. And then on Twitter, his cover photo is from Avengers the Children's Crusade #1, where it's like right after Iron Man talks about the events of House of M. And Billy says, and you think I have the power to do something like that? Because he was talking about M-Day and the world that Wanda created and all that jazz. And that leads to this adventure of finding Wanda and taking on Dr. Doom and read Children's Crusade. It is amazing. But it's interesting. What is interesting is we do actually, in this panel, we see Billy with his husband. And look, I'm not gonna dwell too much into this, but I love the fact that this kid has read not just the stuff of like the Vision and Scarlet Witch comic, but he's clearly read Young Avengers and Children's Crusade, or at least Children's Crusade. So that gives me some hope for Billy's future portrayals when he is a teenager, meaning that Marvel, because Marvel likes to give their actors packets of comics to read, that they are giving the correct comics and not the crappy ones. And yes, you know exactly, those of you that read my blog know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so
so it gives me faith for the future of eventually seeing teenage Billy and Tommy in the MCU.
So super quick, Sparky the dog comes from the Visions comic that inspired the show. And also with Sparky, you hear Billy say, "Sit, Sparky, sit, good dog." This is actually a reference to the line, "Sit, Ubu, sit, good dog," used in the closing tag for Ubu Productions, which produced Family Ties, a show which this episode parodies. Also, the sudden growth of the
homages, not parodies. We talked about this. There's a very big difference between an homage and a parody.
I didn't write the notes.
Well, the notes are wrong.
Well, no, which this episode parodies. Like, they parody certain things. Like, the sudden growth of the twin sons, Tommy and Billy, is a reference to how sitcoms often portrayed infants growing up at an unrealistic rate. A notable example would be from Growing Pains, which featured an infant, played by Chrissy Seaver, who in the course of just two seasons was old enough to attend school. So.
That's it comes for you. So it'll be really interesting to see where, so obviously the things that happen in this episode will trickle into the 90s episode, which means Vision is going to be exploring the outer reaches of the town, and we're going to see a little bit more personality from the twins and maybe even their powers, but also we're probably going to see Wanda hit Pietro in some capacity at some point, just because I have a feeling he's gonna put his foot in his mouth and he's gonna live to regret it, because that's just the impression I got from his 2 second cameo at the end of this episode.
Let's see something real quick.
And at this point, I think for the rest of the week, I'm gonna be heavily overanalyzing this entire episode as I did the week before. And I gotta say, it's getting harder and harder to wait an entire week for a new episode just because everything is picking up so quickly. And oh God, I love this show.
Just want to throw this out there for next week's episode. They don't have the boys credited. And they don't.
But that's because IMDb probably didn't know they were gonna be there. They're not disappearing, so they'll be there.
And they don't have Peter Evans in there either. But yet again, that could have been
Evan Peters, not Peter Evans.
Oh, yeah. Evan Peters, my bad. Especially the fact that his name is right there in front of me. So, and I'm looking at this, but they're saying that in episode 6 is when Gray Griffin is supposed to debut, in theory.
Correction, her voice, as she herself has tweeted, will be in this episode.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what she does.
I'm kind of sad
that she's not actually doing a physical acting role.
Yeah.
But
I will say she's been so I was fortunate enough to go to one last convention before the pandemic hit, and one of the things that was really really cool was I actually got to meet her. And she is so nice. She is so sweet, and she was dressed in like purple, like Daphne. And every time she talks in Azula's voice, I get chills. She's amazing. And I'm so, so excited.
So I'm going to save my Gray Griffin story for next week's episode.
That's perfectly fine.
Because
this is only half my story.
Because I'd rather have my story go when she actually debuts in the show.
That's fine. But I actually have a story about her voice a little bit later as well. But with that, Michael, where can the people find you on the social medias?
In hell. No. So real quick, it should be noted that this episode is 38 minutes or 40 minutes, depending on which one you look at. I know Disney Plus says 40, but I think that's just because of the extra credits that they put in for the other languages that they're put in. But the episode is clocked at 38 minutes on IMDb, which means the episodes are, in fact, getting longer. So with that, you can find me on the socials, Twitter at @TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. And at the time of this release, because we record on Friday and release on Saturday, at the time of the release of this episode, I'm probably going live right now as we speak, because now I do a Twitch stream every Saturday at 4 p.m. So, and then of course the website, txhthockey.com, and for the show specific, /nerdy-notions.
course, you can find my lovely self primarily on Tumblr, geekgirl101.tumblr.com. That is the best place to find me, the best place to reach me. I'm there a little bit fart. I could stand to be there a little bit less. Twitter at Geeky Captain. Geeky Captain Writes is my writer's blog where I will eventually
what was that
write
for Twitter again?
All of my thoughts about the show once I'm able to sort of see the complete picture.
What was that for Twitter again?
And on Instagram, although I am very rarely there these days because I don't go anywhere except I don't leave my house. And that is Geeky Captain on Instagram and Geeky Kaplan on Twitter.
Yeah, you said the wrong. So you said the wrong one for Twitter.
Geeky Kaplan is Twitter. Okay.
When you did it the first
Geeky
time,
Geeky Captain
the,
is.
Yeah, when you did Geeky Captain the first time, you did it for Twitter. You're not Geeky Captain on Twitter.
Well, I said it right now. Stop confusing people further. It's Kaplan for Billy Kaplan. And please join us for the decade where I actually exist within the scope of Westview. And that will be our fabulous 90s episode. Take care.
They better have damn good music like Captain Marvel did.